are listening to Community Voices on NPR Illinois 91.9 UIS.
Welcome back to Community Voices. I'm Randy Eccles, and we have another member of the community we're excited to get to meet today, and that's Jeff Isringhausen. And Jeff, welcome to Community Voices.
Thank you, Randy. It's an honor to be here.
Folks may know the name in the community because you've got a business here, Isringhausen Imports. Tell us a little bit about it.
Isringhausen Imports was formed out of a passion for automobiles. I had a couple of brothers. One of them lived here in Springfield, and he's 25 years old, and he talks the bank into giving him a small line of credit, and he starts an automobile dealership just selling pre-owned cars, 1981. So here we are, 2023, and we've grown to a multi-franchise operation, and we sell cars all over the country, and a really rewarding career.
You got started basically looking for high-end pre-driven cars.
Right. As a startup, we did not have a franchise from one of the new car manufacturers. That takes some time to acquire and prove that you can manage such a thing. So our first one was Saab in 1985. We've got a Saab franchise, and we ran that here in Springfield for a few years. But the beginning was pre-owned, and we still have an emphasis in that today.
A lot of folks experience car dealers as somebody who's local you go to buy, but your business is much broader than the Springfield area.
We sell a specialized car, and they're more expensive cars than the average consumer goes for. And there's enthusiasts and collectors around the country that pursue the type of stuff that we've figured out how to get our hands on and resell to people all over the country, right? So the demand is not just local.
There are plenty of other dealers around the country, but you've really built up this market where you'll even ship cars and acquire cars from all over the country.
There's quite limited supply of some of the specialized cars. Some new, you know, especially Porsche has some lines of product that the demand far exceeds the supply, so people will not be able to find one in their local area, and they'll be shopping around. Also, just some knowledge from all these years of cars from the 70s and 80s that are historical and desirable. We'll acquire those, find them, stock them, clean them, get them more ready for sale. And with the internet, the whole world can see it in any given moment.
You know? You started with Saab and came into a couple other brands. When you're determining who you want to be affiliated with, how do you pick? Porsche is one of the key ones you have right now, but when you've let somebody go, why was that?
We represent Mercedes-Benz, BMW, Porsche, and Volvo in our three buildings in downtown Springfield. And our entry into the business was a passion and enthusiasm for mostly German and European cars. Those are the brands that we really love, and I think that was a goal of my founding brother, that those were the brands that we wanted to represent and sell, and we think they're some of the best in the world, and that's why we pursued that, and we're thankful to have them.
Another thing that's unique about your dealership is most of the dealers have moved out to the periphery of town, and you've actually doubled down on the downtown area. How does that work out for you?
We have a very successful business, and we like the location. I just think it's great for our community to be in downtown Springfield. It needs to be the center of our city. It's where we have so much history and our state government, Lincoln Museum and library, great parts of our community, and I just... I'm glad that we've been able to stay there and build a good business right there in downtown, and unique architecture that we get to enjoy every day and look at and enjoy and think about the history of our city. And so we're glad to be there and no regret.
Does the Capitol pull some business over for you, leaders and different people?
Well, sometimes, yeah. There's some legislatures that come in, and we've done business with them. But it just the whole state government, I think, is good for Springfield, obviously, and it's been good for our business to be close by.
You're doing something to help downtown be even healthier. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
We support Downtown Springfield, Inc., which is an organization designed to further downtown activities and growth. That's a great organization, and plus other endeavors. You know, we sponsor different events they put on each year. This year, we decided that we wanted to do something that would be good for our community, that would help out. We moved to downtown Springfield in 1984. We were a young company with lots of goals and aspirations and not a lot of money. It was a big risk. We were city help to be able to buy the building that we were acquired. And so we just thought, well, there's probably other young entrepreneurs that would like to open a business. We let it be known to Downtown Springfield, Inc. that we would support the formation of an idea that we would like to support that effort. And they found a number of young, they were all young people that wanted to open a new business, and we vetted them and had, we actually got down to a four finalists, and we had them come into the dealership and present their, to myself and other staff members, their vision and plan, kind of like a Shark Tank thing, you know.
Sure.
And asked them a lot of questions to sell their product. We ended up choosing a particular recipient. Her name's Elizabeth Wake, and the business is called The Wakery.
We've had Elizabeth on Community Voices.
A sharp young person wanting to pursue her passion, a business in downtown. And her thing is The Wakery is the name of her business, and it's twofold. That's her name, but it also helps keep you awake because it's a coffee shop, so to speak, but with a twist of very cool non-alcoholic cocktails that she'll be serving till late at night. So people that want to be out and socialize or have been maybe to a bar and then they just want to keep talking but maybe they're not done with alcohol, then they could go there and hang out for a while, or just people that choose not to drink is an option. And they're beautiful and very tasty drinks in an environment she's decorating to be pleasing, and we're excited for her.
When I was young, we called those juice bars, somewhere we could go if you couldn't drink. Or now you don't want alcohol but you still want to go do something late in the evening, you'll be able to. So you've provided a grant to help her get started.
Correct. She was already well on her way, and so this just was a step up, I mean, a hand up to help her get some more equipment than she would have had, better kitchen equipment, special machinery that would help her business just even be better. We had laid aside a lump of money, and so we ended up allocating her $20,000 in order to encourage her to get her business up and off the ground, and so we're hoping that she's going to be opening real soon.
Downtown looks a lot different than it did in the 80s. It's been because of good commitments from folks like yourself to develop and try things, then it's gotten even better.
Thank you, Randy. We think there's a great future. It's a unique part of our community we need to thrive on. The history is there. You think about Abraham Lincoln taking a train out of here and going to Washington, D.C., and the history of that is Springfield, Illinois. Let's continue to make it thrive.
You mentioned the train. Will the relocation of the rail have any impact on your business?
We think it's a really good thing for the community and overall. The trains, especially the freight trains that come by, are noisy, and we've been living with them for many, many years, and we're kind of glad to see that moving on. It's going to be great to see what happens to that corridor once the tracks are gone. There's a whole new initiative in place now, and a group that's meeting with planning that, and I'm a part of that group to help build a culturally enhancing corridor for biking and hiking and all kinds of things along the way, of different shops, restaurants, even a garden center that people can take advantage of, and just to make things to do that are fun to do and like other bigger cities would have. You know,
sure, I was just going to say, in New York City or like Chicago, the 606, when they've taken corridors like that used to be rail corridors, it's become a very attractive area for people to walk and recreate, but also businesses locate by it. Fingers crossed that that's how it's going to work downtown.
We're hoping for that. Every reason to believe it could, but you know, that'll start after the rail gets moved after 25. But we believe that can happen after 2025.
Business has been odd over the last few years for a lot of people. The pandemic is very unique. We hear a lot about shortages. How has that been for your business?
There has been shortages of vehicles. We've continued to do okay. There seems like we have enough cars. We don't have near the inventory we once did, but maybe we had too much. You know, that was a manufacturer's. We're partners with BMW, Mercedes, Porsche, Volvo, like I say, and they have assembly lines, and they need to keep them running, and they would just keep pumping the cars, and we would end up with more inventory, maybe not just us, but the whole dealer model was a bigger inventory. And so now we sell about the same number of cars, but on a smaller inventory. So overall, it's been a change that's not been all bad. Now my salesmen, they like to have more selection. It's working out pretty good.
Supply and demand, has it made it a little more expensive for people to find the vehicles they want?
It's possible that the supply goes down, and that will impact demand, and price is a function of that. But it also, because of the supply restraint, not so many new ones available, it helps retain the value of the car that you do buy. So maybe your cost is not any higher in the long run, even though the initial purchase price.
Depreciation is probably a lot lower. You've seen that with the used car market.
Exactly.
Other exciting things are happening in this area. I believe I've seen that Porsche's got electric vehicles.
Electrification of the automobile sector is going 100% strong by every manufacturer. You know, all the domestics, Ford and General Motors, are all just completely gung-ho and all in for electric, as are our brands. And so we sell hybrids from each brand, plus pure electric cars, where we have big, massive charging infrastructure at the dealership. People are learning about how to merge electrification into their lives. It's a little different than a gasoline-powered car. You have to plan your charging a little bit more. It's really a simpler, easier car once we get the infrastructure of electrification in place.
Maybe a little less maintenance.
Correct. Mm-hmm. It's an electric engine. An electric motor is one or two moving parts, where an internal combustion engine has many, many parts. It'll be a more reliable, a less maintenance, but it's not as easy to keep electrons in the battery cells as it is gasoline in the tank. It's a much easier engineering problem. It's easier to manage gasoline than it is electrons.
We have a whole network of stations with liquid petrol around, and whereas we've got to get a charging network together.
Correct. And it'll always take longer to charge an electric car than it does to dump 5 gallons or 20 gallons of gasoline in a car. It's just the nature of that energy transfer. But, there will be amazing things happen. It's possible that down the road we'll have charging in the road structure as we drive down the road. And so it's just the cars always stay charged.
Almost like you lay your phone down now and it can get charged.
Inductive charging, they call that.
So you'll be able to get that maybe from the road. So the other thing I'm looking forward to is sort of an IROC type electric car racing to test these and see how well they do. Is that happening yet?
There's electric car racing series, Formula E, a worldwide endeavor, and manufacturers enter cars, and there's a formula that they have to follow. The car has to be certain weight and power, but they race all over the world and kind of follow the Formula One.
A little different sound than a normal race, I'm guessing.
Very quiet.
So that would be sure. Yeah. Now your family has experience racing too. Have you raced?
Yes, we have a racing division of our company. So we started racing mostly Porsches about 12 years ago. Migrated that along, and I personally have done most of the driving in my son. But we discovered, as we got involved in that end of the automobile business, that there weren't any dealers that had race cars as a part of their business model. So we now stock and sell quite a few race cars. You could go down there today and see 25 or 30 full factory-built race cars ready to go that we are offering for sale.
Both on the road and race, or is it really just for racing?
These particular cars are not legal. They're not EPA certified. They're not DOT. They're made at the factory for off-road use only.
That's exciting. Yeah. I could see getting a Porsche, one of the more stock models, and you can't really open it up on the road, or at least not legally. So being able to get out to a track and see how it really drives has to be fun.
Oh, it's a real thrill, and I'm really happy to have had that part of my life. I'm 65 years old, and so for the last 10 years I've been doing this, and it's just been really, really fun. And anybody that would have interest, please stop by. We'd love to show you what we're doing.
And it's taken you to not just around here, but to Europe too, right?
Yeah, I've raced in Europe this past summer at two famous tracks. One was Zandvoort, and the other was called Zolder. And in Zandvoort, I was told that the Formula One race in the 80s, I think, and Mario Andretti won the Formula One race, and they said to me, well, you're the next American after Mario Andretti to have been on a podium. At Zandvoort.
And that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was real cool, but it was a much lower scale racing. We're racing Porsches in a Porsche sanctioned event, but still really fun and a good reception and just a great experience.
It's great. And you said your son participates too?
He does. He's just same activities, and we're actually going this next weekend. We're going to practice at a track here in America, Sebring International Raceway, and then we race the weekend after that with a series called Porsche Club of America.
Did I hear in the past, I worked in sports broadcasting at one point, and I'd swear there's Isringhausen involved in baseball. Is that in relation?
Yeah, well, we had a distant cousin. My family came from southwest Illinois around Jerseyville, and there's a number of Isringhausens there, and they're one of the vein of our family. Jason Isringhausen became a professional ball player and was very good and played for the Cardinals for a while and played for New York and played in California also. And just a name, especially when he was in St. Louis. It was really great to hear the name on the broadcast. He was a reliever, and he'd come in and close out games. I think they called him a closer. It was marketing for us every time they said Isringhausen or Jason Isringhausen on the radio.
Good deal. Anything else going on right now?
The business is doing well. Our service is growing, but we do have a plan to build another building in downtown Springfield. Our Mercedes and Porsche centers share a facility, and we need to separate that over the next few years. So we're in the planning stages of getting that figured out. But within by the end of 25, we expect to have another building on the First and Madison corner to house Porsche.
Good news for downtown, for sure. If somebody wants to take a look at some of the cars, or what's your website? How do they get in touch with you?
Well, our website is isringhausen.com. If you use a search engine, you look for Mercedes in Springfield or BMW or whatever model you're in, and we'll come right up. We're easy to find at 229 East Jefferson and right by the Capitol. If you're near the Capitol building, if you can see the Capitol, you're a block or two away.
Is that where you could take a look at some racing cars too? Is it
yeah.
the same site, or
yeah,
do you have
yeah.
a motorsport site? Or
we have a warehouse adjacent to our facility that we keep most of the race cars in, but we usually have one or two even on the showroom floor because everybody likes to see them. You know, if you drive a high performance car, you racing is part of the DNA of those cars, and people just like to see them, so we keep them on show for people to enjoy.
Jeff Isringhausen, really appreciate you joining us today on Community Voices. Jeff is here from Isringhausen Imports and Motorsports, a great member of the community to have here on Community Voices. Thanks, Jeff.
You're welcome, Randy, and thank you so much for having me.
That concludes today's Community Voices. Suggest a guest. Email communityvoices@nprillinois.org, and we'll explore interviewing them. Stay in touch with Community Voices and other news by subscribing to NPR Illinois Daily at nprillinois.org, a daily email newsletter that helps make sure you are in the know. Production assistance is provided by the Community Voices team, B. Bonner, Vanessa Ferguson, Tim Bowl, and Logan Bricker. Community Voices is events you might have missed and conversations with neighbors, artists, and area business people. Community Voices airs weekdays at noon and Saturdays at 5 p.m. on NPR Illinois 91.9 UIS. Get to know your neighbors with Community Voices. Production assistance is provided by the Community Voices team, B. Bonner, Vanessa Ferguson, Tim Bowl, and Logan Bricker. Community Voices is a production of NPR Illinois.
You are listening to Community Voices on NPR Illinois 91.9 UIS.